Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future with a savings plan from Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
You heard it on the headlines there. SSE Airtricity has announced that it's to increase prices from the 1st of October, with electricity bills set to rise by over 35%. And gas bills to increase by 39%. It's among the largest price hikes seen in the energy sector in this country in recent times. The increase has stoked concern. Further price hikes by other energy providers could hit households this autumn and winter. We're joined now by Sinn Féin spokesperson on climate justice, Senator Lynn Boylan, and Gerry Duggan of the Irish Academy of Engineering and former advisor in the ESB. You're both very welcome to the company. And Gerry, I might start with you if I may, because the company, SSE Airtricity, they said, they pointed to the war in Ukraine and the heightened geopolitical tensions that have resulted in what it described as sustained and unprecedented increases in wholesale energy costs. But my question to you is, and in the current climate, we have seen so many price hikes by various energy companies, and it would be very, very easy on programmes like this and for households to simply accept the scale and frequency of price hikes of energy. Is this one justifiable in your opinion?
Well, if you look at present, 71% of our electricity generation comes from gas. We have no ability to control the international gas price, and it has risen to stratospheric levels in the last year, primarily because of the war in Ukraine and the reduction of Russian gas supplies into Europe. Mm-hmm. So effectively, we have to look at, is there any other way we can reduce electricity costs?
And we'll come to that in just a second. But my question really is it justified? Is that anybody watching our backs here? Does SSE Airtricity in this case, or any energy company, have to okay price hikes with the regulator first?
Effectively, in the domestic sector, the regulator no longer controls prices in any way. Effectively, the market determines prices on the basis that there was sufficient competition in that sector.
The regulator
doesn't have a role in relation to controlling prices.
Okay, so is anyone there to say yes? And I don't know, I should say this, but I'm just saying, is there a way of inspecting or making sure that there isn't profiteering happening here or in any other case? And I'm not saying there is, obviously, because we don't know, but just in terms of a guarantee for customers.
Oh, well, there is profiteering occurring. If you look, for example, at the wind sector, they for many years were guaranteed a minimum price above the cost of electricity production. And that funded their development and expansion to current levels. Mm-hmm. They are now making enormous profits because, of course, the cost of wind generation has not gone up at all. So effectively, there are enormous profits being made in that sector.
I understand the point you're making. That's a structural situation and a happy one for the energy companies, isn't it? So you would you look at that, rectifying that?
Well, I think we have to look at everything that's driving up energy costs at the moment, because people are going to be in very serious difficulties this winter. So effectively, the wind generators are making enormous profits. Moneypoint is making significant profits. There is another option available. We have a very large amount of diesel generators at the data centres, particularly in the Dublin area. And I mean a very large amount. By the Academy's calculations, it is about twice the size of Moneypoint. Effectively, at the moment, oil is around $100 a barrel. Natural gas is over $400 a barrel equivalent. Right. And by using that generation, it would be significantly lower cost than gas-fired generation.
Using oil, you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Can I put some of those? Stay with me, Gerry, if you can. Lynn Boylan of Sinn Féin, as I say, is with us. We'll get to some of those suggestions from Gerry in just a second. But who can afford this now? We have to ask that question, Lynn, don't we? I mean, is energy affordable for people if the price of gas, an average bill going up by €500 per annum, €600 for electricity? It's getting to the point of not being able to pay the bill at all.
No, and it's terrifying for families facing into the winter, because we already have an issue with energy poverty before the war in Ukraine. It's something that I've been raising for since I went into the Seanad. An energy poverty strategy lapsed in 2019, so it has not been a priority for this government even before the war happened. And now we're in a situation where people will be choosing between eating and heating. So while what Gerry is saying about the CRU not being able to set the prices, I have repeatedly requested of the CRU at committee that they need to take a more proactive role in regulating the market.
And do what?
And they're not prohibited from doing this within the EU rules. So, for example, they could insist that every single energy company offers the lowest rate tariff to households. So we know, for example, 63% of households don't switch supplier. And that's for a number of different reasons. And the CRU were asked to carry out an analysis of that in 2016, which they didn't do. But we know from the figures in 2014 that a large proportion of people stay. And what happens to them is, a little bit like your car insurance, they get put on a default tariff, which is quite high. Other jurisdictions have made that illegal, that you cannot penalise somebody for being loyal and not switching around. Another thing that they could do is they could go into particularly areas where you know that you have a large number of vulnerable households, and you can negotiate on bulk a better deal from the energy company. And again, other regulators in other jurisdictions are doing
that. So give me an example of what you mean. Are you saying certain postcodes, for example?
For example, you would go in into estates and sort of say that, look, we're going to negotiate on your behalf with the energy companies and get a better deal. So the regulator, so for example, Ofgem offers that facility in Britain and has done for many, many years prior to Brexit. So rather than putting the onus on the individual who might not have the capacity or might not have the credit rating to go in and negotiate with an energy supplier, the regulator would take on board that role. So that's something that CRU could be doing as we speak.
And you're saying, so the regulator then would take on a broker's task for housing. Okay, what about a ban on disconnections?
Yep. Now, on the ban on disconnections, we've repeatedly called for. I know they've extended the limit on us, but given the situation we're in at the moment, there should be a ban on disconnections without a doubt. As I said, the CRU could also be going in and demanding more transparency around the standing charges on bills. So at SSE today, there's an 8% increase on the standing charge. So while we know energy companies are making huge amounts of profit out of this crisis, they're now expecting the households to also foot the fixed costs that have gone up. So we're going to now cushion the increases in doing business that everybody across the board is.
I'll bring you back to the ban on disconnections for just a second. Are you saying a universal ban on disconnections for all customers?
A ban on disconnections for the short term, in terms of that we are in a crisis.
For everyone.
And we already know. We're not saying people don't pay their bill, but you have to have a ban on disconnections. The vast majority of people are struggling and are trying to pay their bill. People are not willfully not paying their bill.
You've preempted my question. We need people who can pay the bill to pay the bill, don't we, to make these companies, to keep them solvent, so to speak. And it's a strange thing to say, because they're making an awful lot of profit and windfall profits. But if you ban disconnections for the entirety of the customer base, is there not a risk of going back to moral hazard here with the banks? Is there not a risk of moral hazard?
No, I mean, there are ways to work around that. And I mean, in disconnections, the energy supplier intervenes with the customer initially and sees if they have a problem with it being able to afford the bill. So there are measures in place before a disconnection happens. What we're saying is that people who are in those circumstances, the disconnection, there needs to be a moratorium on disconnections for people who are in dire straits,
what would be the point of engaging in those steps if the company can't disconnect. Do you see what I mean?
What I'm saying is that there are safeguards in place to prevent. What I don't believe people would do is that people would willfully not pay their bill. The vast majority of people are paying their bill and paying what they can afford. But what we need to accept is that energy we need to look at it as a right and not just a commodity. This is something that people absolutely fundamentally need.
What about using LNG? Because a number of people have made that suggestion. We're at a crisis point here. And I'll bring in Gerry in just a second. But what is Sinn Féin's position, Lynn Boylan, on the use of LNG in this crisis situation?
LNG is not going to bring down the cost of gas, Cormac. In fact, it would probably increase it because LNG tankers literally turn in real time out in the oceans to whoever the highest bidder is. And you can watch that. And anybody who follows energy markets will see LNG will not reduce the cost of energy. It's a different issue when you're looking at energy security and those arguments. I'm happy to have that debate. But one thing people need to know for sure is that LNG will not reduce the cost of bills.
And what about using oil?
Most likely increase them. Well, what I think is in the short term, we need to address the issues around how do we reduce the bills for people as soon as possible, and the CRU taking a more proactive role than targeted measures through the budget, through social welfare. Yeah,
but Gerry is talking about the short and medium term as well. Turn away from gas for the moment, the price of it $400 a barrel equivalent. Go to oil, $100 a barrel at the moment. Would you go along with that?
Well, what I would rather see is a ramping up of getting the most renewables as possible onto the grid. And there are delays in that. And we've called for measures to be taken to fast track the delivery of renewables. Because, look, oil and diesel
we're talking about
it's far dirtier to be burning oil and gas. So there are other measures you could take to reduce the cost of electricity, but we need to have everything on the table when it comes to bringing down
so
the cost.
No,
but
to LNG.
I wouldn't look at that as being the first step to be taken, is what I'm saying.
Let me bring back Gerry Duggan here. No to LNG and no to oil.
Well, if you look at the present, wind power generation is providing 5% of the electricity requirement in Ireland. So effectively, we have no alternative but to use fossil fuels when the wind isn't blowing. And the reality is we need to recognise that. Now, as Lynn said, I agree. Moving to LNG will not reduce the cost of gas, but it will substantially improve the security of gas supply. And our difficulty this winter is we don't have a shortage of generation capacity on the island. We have a quite significant surplus of it. But we have a significant risk of lack of disruption and blackouts because our gas imports may not equate to what we need.
What about our climate
targets? So effectively, you cannot divorce the question of security.
Yeah.
Security is essential to ensure that the economy keeps operating.
But the hovering in the background all the time, Gerry, though, if you're saying that
alternative mechanisms for importing natural gas other than coming through the UK.
Yeah, but if you're saying that the only alternative is fossil, what about the climate targets?
Well, if you look at what's happening across the world, in Northern Ireland, they had a problem in Kilroot Power Station where they donue have flue gas desulfurization as you have in Money Point. And there, when the Russian coal supplies were cut off effectively by the UK government, they couldn't get a coal with the required characteristics. So the government waived the environmental regulations. In Germany, they're bringing back coal stations. Now, they're also belatedly agreeing that they shouldn't close their nuclear stations. The Japanese Prime Minister in the last 2 days has announced that he wants to bring back half the Japanese nuclear power stations into operation. So everyone in the world is
that would be alarming for
that
an awful
we have a very serious problem.
Yeah.
The solutions in different countries are different.
Last
but
word
we
to
have
you,
to
Lynn.
Look at what the solutions
well, no, Cormac,
are,
I agree.
The solution. Look, we can't do anything.
The solutions are different, but what frightens me is the fact that we need to have a demand response, so where you reduce the demand when necessary. And currently, only large industries are players in that game. In May, the committee were told the government haven't met with any of the stakeholders about a demand response strategy. And one of the things they pointed out was that households, rather than what the CRU were suggesting, which is penalising households for using energy during the peak times, that households could actually be remunerated for downpowering, for choosing, say, not to use their washing machine or those high energy users during peak demand. Okay. So it's the carrot rather than the stick approach.
I think we'll be talking about this very soon. Indeed, again, Lynn Boylan of Sinn Féin, Gerry Duggan of the Irish Academy of Engineering, and former advisor in the ESB. Thank you both very much indeed.